So I want to welcome you this morning to Faith. Thanks for being here. We're just glad that you're here, and we just pray that God will touch you this morning. That maybe he's already touched you. I don't know. He's already touched me. So it's kind of like I'm trusting that his word will be sufficient for our work today. This is the second week in our study of 1 Thessalonians that we're calling Stay on Target, and how to live for God in a troubled time. And as we have said in the past, the troubles are all around us, and they seem to be closing in sometimes, and sometimes they don't really matter to us, but we live in times where the culture is changing, where things are taking place, and sometimes we have no control over what's happening in our lives, but we do have control over staying on target. We can stay on target with what God wants for us. And so last week we talked about how the gospel changes us. The gospel transforms us. It is a transforming power that God has given to us to come inside us and to make us new people. And in that transformation, we start to live with a different set of standards, and that's why we struggle with what's around us. Because we're given a different set of standards, God's standards to live by. And so to stay on target, we first of all need to understand that the gospel, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, he paid the penalty. Excuse me. Let me get this out of the way. That's not a COVID one. That's an that's allergies raising their ugly head again. So we talked about the gospel being that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that he paid the penalty for our sins, that we can come into relationship with him. And we know that's the foundation of all things. But in the process, we need to have a messenger. And so this morning, we're going to be talking about the fact that God has made us his messengers. And this can be either frightening or can be really exciting. And I would hope that you would find it really exciting that God has chosen you to be his messenger of the gospel. And so this morning, I want us to read verses 1 through 16 of chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians. So if you have a Bible with you, if you have an iPad or a phone with you, turn to 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter, and follow along as I read. Now, as I read this morning, I want you to listen for the tone of this chapter. This is one of the most unique chapters in the whole Bible, because you get to hear Paul talking about how important these people were to him. And so listen to the tone of this message, because it's so perfect for how we are to be messengers. So listen carefully. You yourselves know, dear brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not a failure. Now remember, the visit only had about three Sundays in it, three Sabbaths in it. That was it. Okay, so if I came for three Sundays and then I was just gone and you had to be on your own, you'd think that I was a failure, okay? So he's saying to them, it wasn't a failure. You know how badly we were treated at Philippi just before we came to you and how much we suffered there. Yet our God gave us the courage to declare his good news to you boldly in spite of great opposition. For you can see we were not preaching with any deceit or impure motives or trickery. For we speak as messengers approved by God and entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our hearts. And never once did we try to win you with flattery, as you well know. And God is our witness that we are not pretending to be your friends just to get your money. As for human praise, we have never sought it from you or anyone. As apostles of Christ, we certainly had the right to make some demands of you. Instead, we were like children among you, or we were like a mother feeding and caring for her own children. We loved you so much that we shared with you not only the good news, but also our own lives too. Don't you remember, dear brothers and sisters, how hard we worked among you? Night and day we toiled to earn a living so that we would not be a burden to any of you as we preached the good news to you. You yourselves are our witness, and so is God, that we were devout and honest and faultless toward all the believers. And you know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. We pleaded with you and encouraged you and urged you to live lives in a way that God would consider worthy, for he called you to share in his kingdom and glory. Therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you received this message from us, you didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very word of God, which of course it is. And this word continues to work in you who believe. And then, dear brothers and sisters, you suffered persecution from your own countrymen. In this way, you imitate the believers in God's church in Judea, who, because of their belief in Christ Jesus, suffered from their own people, the Jews. And some of the Jews killed the prophets and even killed the Lord Jesus. And now they have persecuted us too. They failed to please God and work against all humanity as they try to keep us from preaching the good news of salvation to the Gentiles. By doing this, they continue to pile up their sins, but the wrath of God has caught up with them at last. So we want to turn to this and we want to start talking about how we are to be messengers of God in this fallen world, in this time. And this is the first point here. This is probably the only point of the message, is we are God's messengers of the good news. That's what we have been given the job of doing. And we see that because in this verse, in verse 4, it says, we speak to you as messengers approved by God, entrusted with the good news, and our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our hearts. You see, God has entrusted us with his good news. Now, that means that God trusts you. He trusts me with this really, really important message that he has given. In fact, it says that he has approved us. He has vetted us. He has said, you are worthy of doing this. I want you to give this out. You have been given the privilege of doing this, because this word that he has for us is the power of God. In Romans 1:16, it says, for I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ, for it is the power of God at work in everyone who believes. It saves everyone, the Jew first and all the Gentile. Now, that doesn't mean that the Jew is better. It just came to the Jews first. And then it came to the Gentiles. So there's only Jews and Gentiles. And so if you're not a Jew, then all of us pretty much in here are all Gentiles. And we got it because Paul was entrusted with this gospel, and he preached it, and it's powerful in the lives of people. You see, when you share the gospel with someone, God now has the opportunity to change their lives because they have heard this powerful thing that he has given to them. Now, this is the most important message that God has. He is so interested, so protective of this message, that this is what he said at the end of this verse we just read. Listen to what it says. For you also endured the same sufferings at the hands of your own countrymen. And even as they did the Jews, they both killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out. They are not pleasing to God, but hostile to all men, hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles. Now, here it is. These people who are against the gospel are hindering the gospel from going out. Now, I want you to see what God does to someone who hinders the gospel. Notice what it says. It says, with the result that they are always filling up a measure of their sins, but the wrath of God has come upon them to the uttermost. God's wrath is reserved for those who hinder the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how much he thinks this is important. The gospel you have been trusted with, that I have been given to give to people, to share with people, is a gospel that is so powerful that it changes the lives of people, and God holds his wrath for those people who hinder that. Now, his wrath is really what's going to happen in this world, ultimately, someday. There's someday going to be a day when God comes and he's going to call all men before him, and the believers will be separated off. They will be separated off from those who don't believe, and those who don't believe will be judged for their own sin because they have said, I can do this myself. I don't need somebody to pay for my sin. And they will then be separated from God, which is eternal death. Is eternal death. Forever separated from the goodness of who God is. And that is the wrath of God. You know, you think about that and you have to say, wow, that's what God thinks about it. Now, there's a time also coming in our time when God is going to come and he's going to lay out a tribulation upon this earth. The 7-year tribulation is not all called the wrath of God. Only the last half of it is called the wrath of God. But when the wrath of God occurs on this earth, what we see now in this COVID time and all the struggle that's going on in our lives right now is going to be crazy. It's going to be 10 times worse. Now, Ed, you're going to have to switch them before, because I cannot make that thing work this morning. This is the reason that it's so important to God. It says in 1 Timothy 2:4, for God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is what God wants. He wants all men to be saved. And that's why he says the gospel is so important. That's why he entrusts you and I with the gospel. And he's approved us to do this. And so, first of all, he wants us to know that we have been entrusted with the gospel. But he also wants us to know that he has given us boldness. Boldness in the knowledge of the gospel. God gives us boldness to share his good news. For you know how badly we were treated at Philippi just before we came to you and how much we suffered there. So if you were beaten and then you were locked up in a dungeon jail cell and then you were told that you couldn't share the gospel, what would you do? Would you just say, well, I'm not going to share the gospel. They just beat me and they just locked me up and I'm going to be sentenced for sharing the gospel. You know what? Paul didn't do that. It says that, yet God gave us courage to declare his good news. If you read the story in Philippians, you'll find out that Paul and Silas, while they're in this, this jail cell in Philippi, are singing hymns. They're singing after having been beaten. The gospel meant so much to them, they were singing the praises of God. And then I'm sure some of the prisoners were asking, what are you guys doing? And I'm sure they were sharing the gospel at that very time. And then an earthquake hit, and it broke loose all the bonds that these guys had, and the jail cells were all open, and the prison warden was there, and he was about to take his life, and Paul says, no, wait, don't take your life. Everybody's here. But let me share the reason we're all here is because the gospel is so powerful. And that man and his family became Christians that day because of the power of the gospel. These men had courage, but the courage wasn't within them. The courage was what God gave to them. Now, I want to say something about courage. Courage is the capacity to do what is right, okay? The choice, the capacity to do what's right. But the courage God gives does not come before you do it. The courage God gives comes when you step out and start to do it. That's when the courage hits, okay? It's not something he preloads on you. Oh, well, I got a lot of courage today. No, you have a lot of fear normally, a lot of turning in your stomach, okay? But when you first start to talk and start to share, then the courage that God needs to give you comes to you because that's when you need it. You see, God gives us boldness to share His gospel. And in spite of great opposition, you can see that we were not preaching out of any deceit or purity or motives or trickery. Now, you remember as we read this morning, it talked about the idea that that they suffered great persecution. In fact, I'm not sure if that's the next slide there. Could be. Nope, back up. Sorry. They were sharing in great persecution in Philippi and also in Thessalonica. People were coming after them because of what they were sharing. But what does that do for the person who's sharing in his relationship to the person who's listening? Well, if I'm sharing and I'm being persecuted for what I say is true, okay, there's no value to me to do that, okay? Why would I share something that is not true and get beat up for it? If I share what is true and I get beat up for it, then I must really believe in what I'm sharing. And as a result, the way I come across to the people that I'm around is, this guy must have something that I want, okay? Because he's willing to die for it. He's willing to get persecuted for it. And that's what he says there. We had a great boldness to share in spite of the persecution that was around us. Now, the next thing we see in this particular passage is that there was a relationship that was built. We share the good news within relationships. And that's the tone that I was talking to you about in terms of this passage. Paul is talking to these people. Go on to the next slide, if you would. And he says, we loved you so much that we shared with you not only the good news, but our lives also. It says there that he treated them as they came as children to them. In other words, we weren't trying to promote ourselves as something better than you. We were just on the same par with you. We were just children before you. We were like a mother nursing her child, caring for a child. We were like a father caring for his kids. We were doing only what we were supposed to do, and that is to care for you as people, as relationships. You know, it's so interesting to me that this verse says, we love you so much that we share with you not only the good news, but also our very lives. Your life and the way you live your life is so important to the lives of the people around you. You influence the people around you through your life, and then your words add some merit to what's going on. So your life and your words match. And that's what he's saying. We gave you the gospel. Jesus died for your sins. We have a relationship with God who loves us. And so we're passing on the love that he's given to us to you in the way we treat you. How you treat the people around you is really, really important. How you treat the people around you. And I think maybe that is even more important even today as we're dealing with some of the things that are in our world today. The trouble that's around us. How we treat and how we respond to the things that are going on around us is going to give us a platform to share the reason we do what we do. You see, it's all about relationship. We are God's messengers. God has entrusted us with this job. He has entrusted us. He has given us boldness, or he will give us boldness, and he wants us to do it through our relationships. Now, you and I all know that the gospel is the thing that changes people. And oftentimes, we are the ones who are most hesitant to share the gospel because we're afraid of hurting someone. We're afraid of offending them, okay? May I say this to you, that the way you start this process is to become a friend, build the relationship with the person, and then have the opportunity to talk with them about what's going on. Now, this week, I had the opportunity to talk to one of our members. And this person, I'm not going to give their name, this person was concerned about a family member. This family member was struggling. They were going in for some medical issues that were really significant. And they were very concerned that this person would know how to trust Christ and where they were going to go. If they were to die on the operating table, what was going to happen to them? And so this person called me and says, you know, I don't know what to do. And I says, you know what? You've already done it. You're their friend. Now just share out of that friendship with them what happened. Well, this person called me back and says, I don't think I did it right. I says, you know what? It doesn't matter what you said. It doesn't matter what you said. You said whatever God told you to say. And it was your relationship with the person that gave you the grounds to do that. Now that person has got at least part of the gospel with them. And they can make their own choice. And God can work. Because the gospel is the power of God, not the power of us to save someone. It's the power of God to save. God saves. We are just the messengers. And so if you think about offending someone, understand this, that God has entrusted you with the most important message there ever was on this face of this earth. It is the eternal message of God, that he wants to be in relationship with you and me. And he provided the way through Jesus Christ, whose blood was shed to forgive our sins. And he offers to any man a gift of eternal life. That is a relationship with God forever, through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for our sins. However, like any gift, it must be received. So he offers it, he holds it out to every person. And if you're in this room today or you're listening to this message, if you see the gift of God, it's being offered to you today. But you have to take it. You have to receive it. And simply by picking up and taking it and placing it in your life, saying, God, I want this to be part of my life. Forgive me of my sin. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and that he will pay the price for my sins so that I can live with you and not live without you. That is the good news that we are given to share every day with the people around us through the relationships we have, through the boldness that God gives, and because he's entrusted us with this most important message of our entire lives. The reason we live in this world and this troubled times, and we're here as messengers, because we stay on target by simply understanding the gospel is the number one thing, and we are the messengers of the gospel. And when we keep those things in focus, then everything else around us lines up around those things, and we say, okay, so now COVID has a purpose. COVID has a purpose to give me an opportunity to share. Okay? It keeps me on target. When the riots that are around us go off, then what does it do? It gives me an opportunity to talk about something that then gives me focus back to the gospel, which is the hope that we have, that we can understand that justice will ultimately be done one day. God will bring justice one day upon this earth. What is unjust now ultimately will be just. God will do it. And it's because we have the relationship with God that helps us to do that. That's how we stay on target, by being God's messenger around the things that are happening in our lives. We share the gospel. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you that you have entrusted us with your most precious message. Father, forgive us when we shrink back from that message, when we should embrace it, and we ought to give it to whoever we can. Lord, I pray that you would give us courage in our relationships to share with the people that we are around the importance of them coming to understand who Jesus is. And understand that the reason we express love to them is because we care for them, because we want them to know the love of God. Father, use our relationships to give us opportunities this week to share the gospel with the people that are around us. And Father, when we start to share, would you just increase the boldness 100-fold? Would you just elevate it that we too can share this gospel with people with boldness? Lord, let us be like Paul and Silas and Timothy, who brought this to the people of Thessalonica. And they shared their lives, but also the gospel. In Jesus' name.